Wicked plants. The weed that killed Lincoln's mother and other botanical atrocities. By Amy Stewart. Narrated by Colleen Marlowe. Copyright 2009 by Amy Stewart. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Amy Stewart, care of the Tesler Literary Agency, LLC, and was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Would not the earth, quickened to an evil purpose by the sympathy of his eye, greet him with poisonous shrubs? Would he not suddenly sink into the earth, leaving a barren and blasted spot, where in due course of time would be seen deadly nightshade, dogwood, henbane, and whatever else of vegetable wickedness the climate could produce, all flourishing with hideous luxuriance? Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter. Introduction. Consider yourself warned. A tree sheds poison daggers. A glistening red seed stops the heart. A shrub causes intolerable pain. A vine intoxicates. A leaf triggers a war. Within the plant kingdom lurk unfathomable evils. In his 1844 story, Rappaccini's Daughter, Nathaniel Hawthorne described an elderly doctor who tended a mysterious walled garden of poisonous plants. The old man's demeanor in the presence of his shrubs and vines was that of one walking among malignant influences, such as savage beasts, or deadly snakes, or evil spirits, which, should he allow them one moment of license, would wreak upon him some terrible fatality. The story's hero, young Giovanni, watched from a window and found it most disturbing to see this air of insecurity in a person cultivating a garden, that most simple and innocent of human toils. Innocent? This is how Giovanni viewed the luxuriant vegetation below his window, and it is how most of us approach our gardens and the plants we encounter in the wild, with a kind of naive trust. We would never pick up a discarded coffee cup from the sidewalk and drink from it, but on a hike, we'll nibble unfamiliar berries as if they had been placed there for our appetites alone. We'll brew a medicinal tea from unrecognizable bark and leaves that a friend passes along, assuming that anything natural must be safe. And when a baby comes home, we rush to add safety caps to electrical outlets, but ignore the houseplant in the kitchen and the shrub by the front door. This, in spite of the fact that 3,900 people are injured annually by electrical outlets, while 68,847 are poisoned by plants. You can garden for years without ever suffering the ill effects of a plant like monkshood, whose cheerful blue flowers conceal a toxin that brings on death by asphyxiation. You can hike for miles and never encounter the cayoteo shrub, whose berries cause a slow but deadly paralysis. But someday the plant kingdom's dark side may make itself known to you. When it does, you should be prepared. I didn't write this book to scare people away from the outdoors. Quite the opposite is true. I think that we all benefit from spending more time in nature, but we should also understand its power. I live on the rugged Northern California coast, and every summer the Pacific Ocean sneaks up behind a family enjoying a day at the beach and claims a life. Those of us who live here know that so-called sleeper waves can kill with no warning. I love the ocean, but I never turn my back on it. Plants deserve the same kind of guarded respect. They can nourish and heal, but they can also destroy. Some of the plants in this book have quite a scandalous history. A weed killed Abraham Lincoln's mother. A shrub nearly blinded Frederick Law Olmsted, America's most famous landscape architect. A flowering bulb sickened members of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Poison hemlock killed Socrates. And the most wicked weed of all, tobacco, has claimed 90 million lives. A stimulating little bush in Colombia and Bolivia called Erythroxylum coca has fueled a global drug war. And hellebore was used by the ancient Greeks in one of the earliest instances of chemical warfare. Plants that are monstrously ill-mannered deserve recognition, too. Kudzu has devoured cars and buildings in the American South, and a seaweed known as killer algae escaped from Jacques Cousteau's aquarium in Monaco and continues to smother ocean floors around the world.